Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey, welcome. You're listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, you are welcome to participate with this show no matter where you're listening, no matter how you're listening. You can participate through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. I want to welcome all our new listeners, returning listeners, anyone listening to this, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for sharing this show. We have never advertised this show once. It is now. It is now listened to in over 100 countries. Some listen online, some plug in and listen through their office buildings, some are listening at schools. There are many, many actual radio stations that take the recording. And then play it. There are some radio stations that stream it live. There are hundreds of thousands of listeners, and I want you all to know how much we appreciate it. We've never advertised this show. That's 100% word of mouth. The only thing we ask is that you share this information. This show is designed to make sure the arms of empowerment and information and conversation can reach everybody 100% free. We offer it free. We ask you that you share it for free. For those very, very, very few organizations that are trying to make money off this show, sharing it for email addresses or sharing it for actual money, please stop. That is an atrocious conflict of interest for us. We don't want that. We want this information out there for free. Love that you want to share it, but please don't try to make money off of it. There's a million other ventures that you can make money off it. Please don't do it off our show. We want to make sure that everyone can hear this 100% free. And if I don't want to make money off it, you sure as hell aren't going to make money off it. So please stop. Thank you. So today, we had a show not too long ago. We had a show, Things Our Parents Taught Us That Turned Out to Be False. And it was a great show. And shortly after, I got a message from one of our listeners, Kathy. Kathy's in Michigan, and she wrote, "Hey, how about a show, Things Our Parents Taught Us That Turned Out to Be True?" And I thought it was a great idea. So thanks, Kathy, for the idea for the show. And of course, this show, talking about things our parents taught us that turned out to be true, it relies on your stories. So share your stories. Feedback, again, is at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. Or our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. I want to say hello to the Better Today community. Keep doing what you're doing. Never, ever forget the power of one. Never, ever forget to participate. Never, ever forget to keep moving, to share, to love, to dream, to hope, to care, to be friendly, and to participate, and to show all of those things, or some of those things, or one of those things in action. It could be so complicated when you want to change the world, but just understand, just changing your day a little bit, changing the way that you look at your own effectiveness can absolutely change the world. And in fact, it's the only thing that's ever changed the world. Little gestures is what changes this world. So why don't you start with yourself? One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. That's all it takes. Take a little bit of action, and you'll see what a difference you can make. So let's get on with this show. And again, the feedback's through our website as well, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. Kathy sent a great story. Kathy, who gave us the idea for the show title, sent a great story, and it really deals with her mom's passing, and it's actually a pretty cool story, Kathy. As Kathy had cared for her mom, as her mom got later on in years, and Kathy got the phone call from the assisted living facility where her mom was, and they say, "Hey, listen, you know, we're taking her mom to the hospital. She's in a lot of pain." And Kathy knew that her mom, being a tough lady, if she was in pain, something was definitely wrong. So she went to the hospital, and they went through this beautiful experience as Kathy's mom was passing. And you know, Kathy, being always honest with her mom, said, "Hey, listen, you know, this you're dying, mom." And the mom suspected that was true. And throughout the years, her mind started to go, her body started to go, but she suspected that this was the case. And Kathy shared some phone calls here. Talk to your son, Kathy's brother. She talked to Kathy's husband, and talked to even the roommates that she had in the assisted living facility. And Kathy listened as she told all of these people. The main message was thank you for being a good son, thank you for being a great son-in-law, thank you for being a great roommate. And then of course Kathy, in a beautiful exchange with her mom right before she died, she said, "Thank you for being a wonderful daughter and for helping me through these years." And of course you could imagine how that touched Kathy, and Kathy sharing that thank you, saying thank you, was something that her mom taught her from an early age, an absolute early age. And what a tremendous thing to teach your children. And that is definitely something that your parents will teach you that turns out to be true. The pleases and the thank yous, something that my mom also taught the importance of to me. And I know so many people writing in that right now about the same thing. How great is that? Not only that, Kathy and everyone else, not only that, but what a difference it makes when people don't do it. I was recently, I wanted something warm to drink. So I went into a Dunkin' Donuts to get something to drink, and I was online. There was, you know, I think it was New York City. So there was about 10 people in front of me, and I paid attention, and I started just watching. And the woman behind the counter, the Dunkin' Donuts employee, she was so nice, and she was saying, "Please, and thank you. What would you like, please? Or that'll be, you know, $4, please." And after she said, "Thank you, have a nice day," sometimes it would just be "thank you." And I watched as all 10 of these people in front of me went through this. And each one, there wasn't one of them that said please or thank you. They didn't say, "I'll take a dozen donuts, please." Some of them wouldn't even speak in complete sentences. They would just walk up and she would say, "How may I help you?" And they'd say, "Dozen donuts," or "large latte," or whatever the hell they would say. Not even a complete sentence, or "I would like a latte, please," or "I would like a," or "can I please have," or even "give me a," whatever. Not even a complete sentence, just barking out a product. And I watched this happen. I said, what a difference it would make for the woman behind the counter, but not only that, but for the people themselves, to have an exchange of courtesy. And Kathy, that's really what your mom was teaching you, and I think that this was something that was very, very important when our parents were young, and I'm sure when their parents were young, and something that was passed down. The concept of not just community, But the awareness that there are other people on this earth, and it sounds a little dramatic, but I don't think I'm far off. I find this new generation, this young generation, and even some of my generation, that have lost the idea or the concept that you're sharing this earth with other people. There are other people here. There are other people going through difficulties just as you're going through difficulties. There are other people who are having issues. There are other people who are having a nice day when you're having a nice day. There are other people that you are sharing this town, this city, this post office, this whatever. There are other people who you are sharing this with. And I believe that when you have the breakdown of courtesy, when you're not being taught please and thank you, you lose the concept that you are sharing with others. I think that there's a manifest reason to say please and thank you. There's a manifest, it's common courtesy, as we call it. But there's also a latent thing that happens. There's a latent result of being taught courtesy. Courtesy, being taught courtesy by design, you latently have to therefore acknowledge that somebody else is there, that somebody else has done something for you, that somebody else has exerted some sort of energy, that somebody has acknowledged you. There is a conscious participation from somebody else into your life. And the acknowledgement of that with please or thank you or both is a connection to that truth. And when we're not taught that, when you're not taught the please or the thank you, you end up with something else, which is a complete poison, which is a sense of entitlement that is the opposite of gratitude. It is a poison and something that for me in my life, it'll turn me off in a second. If I come across somebody in business or just in my personal life that has a sense of entitlement, they feel entitled to something, whether it's something to do with you or anything in general, for me it's the opposite of gratitude, and it's an immediate turnoff. Maybe it's because I was raised differently, but it is becoming and seeming more and more apparent with the youth of today. And it's definitely, Kathy, thank you for sharing that story. It's definitely something, courtesy is definitely something our parents taught us that turned out to be true. The necessity of saying please and thank you, the importance of saying please and thank you. To this day, when I speak with students, whether it's in their universities or they're coming to speak to me looking for a job or an internship, a large part of how I perceive them is the way they carry themselves as far as courtesy. They say hello, hi, thank you, please. They address you properly as you would when you were young, addressing people. Then that to me makes a big difference than somebody that's like, hey, what's up, and doesn't say please, thank you. It's a huge turnoff. Because I know there are both manifest and latent repercussions of that kind of sense of entitlement. So thank you so much, Kathy, for sharing that story. Let's keep going with some more feedback. Feedback's at AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You could also feedback through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. And we're talking about things our parents taught us that turned out to be true. For those of you who are asking me to share, I'm sure I'll share throughout the show some more of the things that my folks taught me that have turned out to be true. Let's go with Tamara. Tamara's in San Antonio, Texas, and Tamara writes, Steve, great show topic idea. How about apple a day keeps the doctor away? My parents taught me that. I'm so blessed to be healthy, and I feel that a lot of my health has to do with this motto that my mom would say every day as she gave me an apple. I think that it instills the idea of nutritious, of nutrition. And also, when you eat an apple, you tend to not be hungry afterwards. I instill the same in my children. This is something I'm thankful to my parents. Tamara, that's a great point. Apple a day keeps the doctor away. Definitely. And again, another thing that you're seeing in society from parents who aren't instilling this in their children for there's so many different reasons. Some parents don't know better. Some parents didn't have this instilled in them and the importance of what you eat. And also, we are bombarded with foods and preservatives and products that we've never been bombarded with before. We have the level of chemicals that pass as food now that are available now haven't existed in the past. It wasn't such a broad industry. So parents don't know. We also have busier parents than ever. Some, you know, parents have one or two jobs each now. I remember growing up, I didn't know that many. There were some people that I knew that both parents worked, but I didn't know that many. And now I know plenty who eat one or both parents have more than one job. So you have parents that are that are busier than before, and maybe don't have as much time to pass or cut up an apple for children. You know, there's a million different reasons, but yes. You're absolutely right, Tamara. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. Keeping informed about nutrition, keeping informed about how important it is what you put into your body, and how many things that pass as okay to eat really are not okay. I think I posted something on Twitter maybe last week about this. It was something about if you think the pink slime made you sick, here's some more stuff that might gross you out. And it was just, you know, chemicals and things in our food day to day that we're simply unaware of that we can't really play victim to anymore. We really should start paying attention to what we eat. And as I get older, I start realizing more and more how important it is, how I fuel my body, what I choose to fuel my body with, and when I don't fuel my body properly, my body lets me know pretty quickly. So thank you so much for sharing. You know, apples, anytime I read about apples, I think of Ben Franklin. Why? Ben Franklin had this thing. He wrote in his diaries that Ben Franklin, by the way, was a great mind, not only one of the founding fathers, but a great mind, and he experimented with all kinds of things, and he had philosophies about all kinds of stuff. It's pretty interesting. But one of the things that he talked about in diet, what he would want to flush out his body. You know how people these days it's kind of in to go on to a cleanse, and every now and then they do a body cleanse. Well, Ben Franklin used to do that as well. And what he would do for his body cleanse, because of course they didn't have, you know, the all the websites to go to and what's the latest fad on body cleanses and what shakes and what this and that. But what he would do is he would just have those green apples, those Granny Smith apples, I think they're called, you know, the green sour ones. He would just eat those for a couple of days, nothing else. Just have that and water, I think that he would have. So just that and water. And it would flush him out. And he swore by this process. He swore by this process that it was a process of cleansing. And he would just he would eat those apples. And I've talked to a couple of doctors about this, and they have nutritionists, and they have no problem with this idea. They actually say that was a pretty common thing back in the day, that the apple would absolutely clean you out if you made it your diet for a couple of days. It would absolutely clean you out, and you'd feel a little cleaner. You make sure you stay hydrated, and he would do that periodically, and I guess so would others. Again, thanks again for your feedback. Let's keep going. Feedbacks at AOL Instant Messenger. Screen name is ABT Radio Show, or through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Things our parents taught us that turned out to be true. Let's go with Joyce. Joyce is in Calgary, Canada. Hey, Steve, big hugs from Calgary. How about money isn't everything? Boy and boy, it took me a while to see that this was true. But gosh darn it, what my mom said was true. Money is not everything. Yeah, you know, Joyce, I think that you're right. I think that, and I don't know when this happened. Some people listening right now still haven't figured that out. And I think that money definitely serves its purpose. I don't believe in the just live off the fat of the land, man. I don't believe in that. I think that in an industrial material age, money can be helpful in numerous situations. It also provides you options. Not having money provides. You know, and it's that old saying. You know, I've been through parts of my life where I've had money, and parts of my life where I haven't had money. And I like having money better, and you know, I would concur with that. So you know, I think that you go through a process in life. I think that you go through a process in life, and you realize what things are important, and there are times in your life where that money, it's not really money that people love so much as it is what that money represents. And of course, the money is going to represent whatever represents in the story that you're telling yourself. Remember, we're all telling ourselves a story. What makes you, insert name here, is a story that you're telling yourself. That's why you have one perception of yourself and other people have other perceptions of you. And there's just a bunch of different stories. Every person you see is walking around and they are telling themselves a story of something in your brain that contextualizes your past experiences or your recollection of past experiences, and it contextualizes your future ideas and hopes and stuff. And that contextualizer helps keep that all in order by keeping a running story. It keeps a running story. We've talked about this on the show before, and we've talked about it in an empowering sense of saying, hey, you're the author of this story. So, you know, pick up the pen and start writing it. Don't let anyone else write this story for you, et cetera, et cetera. But what's true is that we're all telling this story. Every single person you see is telling themselves a story. That's what makes them them. When you go to an old folks home, as you call it, and someone might have Alzheimer's or something, and they've lost that memory. Well, what they've lost is that ability to use that contextualizer. What they've lost is the story that tell themselves. That's why they don't recognize you. That's why they don't know what they're doing, where they're going. You can't really ask them about the past or the future. It's because they've lost. They have lost the part of their brain that tells that story. So we're all telling ourselves a story. So money falls into this story. You could have, if you grew up impoverished in some way, if you were poor, if you're financially off, if you watched your parents have nasty financial struggles, money might be something that's huge on your list. What money represents, money for you might represent options. Money might represent options. I know some people, money represents power. I was just speaking with somebody the other day, a financial genius. And easily what I would call amongst my friends the nerds, and he jokes and he says, you know, it's when I was young, when I was growing up, I was just a geeky scrawny kid, and he said a geeky scrawny nerd. He says, and I'm still a geeky scrawny nerd, but I'm rich. And you'd be surprised how handsome a geeky, scrawny nerd is when you're rich. You'd be surprised at who wants my opinion and who wants. And he's got a point. So for him, you could see the story he's telling himself is that in many ways his power comes from that money. And there are other people who money might represent options. There are some people who are just saving. Because they were taught in some ways about scarcity. You see this passed down a lot. You're seeing that about scarcity. And so they'll save because and you see this a lot with the old school people who went through when the financial collapse, the depression. You'll see this go through there. You'll probably see some of the next generation, some of the kids today might grow up with this sense of security in money, because we had somewhat of a depression, a nasty recession globally. And there are some people who are going to instill in their children, hang on to your money, because one day you might lose your job, the economy might collapse. And this is what happened to a generation that's, I think, the older generation from me. They were teaching kids my age, or a lot of 30-somethings, who hang on to their money like it's gonna just disappear on them one day. And, you know, they will live in squalor, but they'll have, you know, $300,000 in the bank. And they're always keeping that security blanket there. And that was something that was instilled to them by a generation that had very difficult financial times. So, yeah, money isn't everything. Definitely something your parents and many parents taught that isn't true. Instead, you see that it's not the money that's everything. It's the ability to share and to love and to participate, and even that you can know that money it becomes awfully helpful. So it's always that battle with money, finances, that really runs, because everything that runs what we call a country is the economy. Well, everything that runs a government, all of it is money. It's money. So the balance you find is how to have money. What I usually tell people is that I've met and I'm friends with, and I've met some very wealthy people, clients I've had, some very wealthy people. And out of all those people, I've only met a couple who have money. The rest of them, money has them. They don't have money. Money has them. And they guide their life on this money, and they're constantly chasing this, whatever it is, again, the story they're telling themselves about this money and this wealth. And very few of them have money, where they happen to be successful, but they live their life and they enjoy and they share. And they, you could see that while they have plenty of money, it doesn't control them. It is definitely not everything to them. And those people are for me, in my observation, some of the happiest people I've ever met, and including people who aren't very financially well off, and that understand that money isn't what defines them. Those two seem to be very happy, and when you have that healthy relationship with money. So, yeah, that's a great point. Things our parents taught us that turned out to be true. Money isn't everything, and you never forget. You've seen tons and tons and tons of funeral processions, right? You've seen the funeral car up front and all the other cars following. We've all seen plenty of them. I have yet to see one. Not one where there's an armored car following. you're not bringing your money with you. I've never ever spoken to anybody on their deathbed including my own mom, who had ever even mentioned money. Not even mentioned it. It wasn't even a thought. It's a very, very materialistic thing that that we as humans wrestle with in our relationship with money, turning our relationship into a healthy relationship. So thank you so much for that feedback. Hey, we're halfway through already. Let's take a quick break. I just need to get a little something to drink. I'm going to find something short here. You guys bored with Dr. King? How dare you? You can't be bored with Dr. King. We got to have Dr. King. It's the other commercials. Or Dr. King, and I'm sick of those other commercials. So let's do a quick Dr. King. Plus, Dr. King's nice and short. Let's see, it's 3 minutes. I'll see you in a few minutes. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. Don't move.
But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest for rights. so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. We are going on. We need all of you. You know what's beautiful to me? It's to see all of these ministers of the gospel. It's a marvelous picture. Who is it that is supposed to articulate the longings and aspirations of the people more than the preacher? Somehow the preacher must have a kind of fire shut up in his bones. And whenever injustice is around, he must tell it. Somehow the preacher must be an Amos. He said, when God speaks, who can but prophesy? Again, with Amos, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Somehow the preacher must say with Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And he's anointed me to deal with the problems of the poor. And I want to commend the preachers, and I want you to thank them, because so often preachers aren't concerned about anything but themselves. And I'm always happy to see a relevant ministry. It's all right to talk about long white robes over yonder in all of its symbolism. But ultimately, people want some suits and dresses and shoes to wear down here. It's all right to talk about streets flowing with milk and honey. But God has commanded us to be concerned about the slums down here and his children who can't eat 3 square meals a day. It's all right to talk about the New Jerusalem, but one day God's preacher must talk about the New New York, the New Atlanta, the New Philadelphia, the New Los Angeles, the New Memphis, Tennessee.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Make sure you check out our websites, bettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. At empoweredlivingradio.com, we have every single show we have ever done available 100% free. The only thing we ask is that you share. Please share. Let other people know what we're up to. If something inspires you, makes you laugh, makes you think in a different way, share. You're surely surrounded by other people who need the same thing you need. Get out there and participate, not only in your own enrichment, not only in your own advancement, not only in your own ability to refine, improve, and enhance your life, but share it in someone else's. Participate in someone else's. Thank you so much. EmpoweredLivingRadio.com, SteveMaraboli.com. Also, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on YouTube. We keep finding new ways to share. So please do as well. We make everything 100% free. So we're talking today about things our parents taught us that turned out to be true. And we've had some good ones. And look at, of course, relationship, a job by Trisha. Trisha is in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she writes, Steve, love you in this show. Big hugs and kisses from North Carolina. How about we pick on relationships and something that I was taught that absolutely turned out to be true. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Love to hear you talk about this, Steve. Big hugs and love. Thank you. Big hugs and love to you in North Carolina. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Can I tell you something? We've had this conversation on the show before about cheating and different reasons and all this kind of stuff, but I left open the last time we did this or the time before that that this is something that a lot of people say, once a cheater, always a cheater. And I said, hey, somebody send me a story where this isn't true. Send me a story where somebody was cheating and they went on. And I did get some. I did get some. But yeah, it seems that cheating tends to be not only a – the reason it seems – I'm going to be a little bit boring now and talk about human behavior. The reason it seems that way, what happens is the story I got where people weren't cheating anymore, where people were in a relationship and they were miserably in a relationship, and they met somebody else who made them happy. They made each other happy. They found their true love, let's say. And they'd go on, and they went and had a relationship, and neither of them cheated again, or one of them didn't cheat again. It's because they were happy. So those were the stories I got where someone who had cheated didn't cheat again. But the reason it does seem that once a cheater, always a cheater, and this for the large part is pointed at men. And I know that any guys listening right now, and all women cheat too. I understand, but for the most part, you hear this referred to in men. But if we talk about men or men and women, we talk about human behavior a second. The reason why it seems that once a cheater, always a cheater, is because we're creatures of habit. And we tend to make bad relationship decisions habitually. So the reason why that guy is always cheating, the reason why that girl is always cheating, the reason why that's happening is because they keep picking people to be in relationships that don't fulfill them. That don't fulfill them. So they keep picking those relationships. And that's why they find themselves cheating. So they find themselves miserable in one relationship. And I know that whenever we say this, this is always such a touchy subject. It really is. Because nothing's worse to a touchy subject than the truth. So when I usually say this, people write in, men and women, well, no, my husband cheated, or my wife cheated, or my boyfriend cheated, or my girlfriend, fiance, whatever. They cheated, and everything was fine in our relationship. Can I tell you something, folks? If it was, they wouldn't have. If it was, they wouldn't have. If it was, they wouldn't have. It's not a nice thing to think about, but usually if one person's cheated on and they say everything was fine, if you ask the other person, they'll give you a list of reasons why everything wasn't fine. I don't think I've ever, in the thousands of consults I've done in relationships, I've never heard someone say, yeah, everything was fine, but I decided to cheat anyway. I've never heard that, not once. I've been in plenty of rooms where the one person was surprised to hear how unhappy the other person was, but never once where they said, oh, yeah, everything was great and blissful, and we really just connected and communicated, and everything was great, and our sex life was great, and we really paid attention to each other's needs and each other's love language, but I decided to cheat anyway. I've never. That's happened zero times in my own career. So, yeah. So once a cheater, always a cheater, because we're habitual. We're habitual, and if you'll tend to keep picking the wrong person. Haven't you experienced this? You or your friends say, oh, I don't know why I always pick the wrong guy. Well, you're not really picking the wrong guy as much as you are picking the wrong relationship. And again, because you're looking outwards. You're not setting a standard for yourself. You're recognizing you're that point of origin. You're not setting the standard for yourself. Once you set the standard for yourself and you love yourself adequately, you forgive yourself adequately, you keep promises to yourself, you're compassionate to yourself, you're loving, forgiving, and enriching to yourself, once you set that standard in your own life, you will get into a healthy relationship. And if you don't settle and dilute and compromise what you want, for and when you're looking for a specific person and you just want to not be lonely. A lot of people do that. I just got sick of going to dinner by myself. I got sick of being lonely. Well, you picked somebody and you remedied the fact that you were lonely, but now you've got somebody and you're both in a relationship with the wrong person. Someone's going to cheat. And if you keep getting in relationships with the wrong person, someone's going to keep cheating. Sometimes it's a character flaw, but it's not a character flaw in the sense that you're naturally a cheater. It's a character flaw in the sense that you get yourself into relationships and don't have the integrity to communicate your way through it. And so instead you go hide and you're deceptive and all that other stuff that we call cheating. So that's really it. So once a cheater, always a cheater, something that could absolutely be something our parents taught that is true. But there's reasons for it. We understand now enough about the human behavior to curb this. You're not going to keep somebody from cheating. You can't do that. You don't control anybody. But what you can do is make choices for yourself in relationships that's conducive to true compatibility that will absolutely reduce the risk of cheating. You inject communication into that already compatible relationship, and you eliminate the concept of cheating completely. And those of you who are sitting in good relationships with good communication, you understand what I'm talking about. The concept of cheating is just absurd because you're in a strong, healthy relationship. If you're in a relationship where you're worried, you're constantly looking over your shoulder, you're constantly checking up on this and that, it's because you're in an unhealthy relationship, and something's going to give eventually anyway. So thank you so much for that one. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Things our parents taught us that turned out to be true. Thank you, and big hugs to you in North Carolina. Let's keep going. How about Timothy? Timothy's in Seattle, Washington. Steve, excellent show. How about the great model set by my dad to always be a hard worker? My dad was working from sunup to sundown. Never really much of a preacher to us, but boy, did he teach us with his actions the importance of taking care of your family and working hard. Man, that's a great point. That's a great point where there's so many moms and dads that are doing that. And that's a fantastic point. What your parents are teaching you without saying it to you, how important that is, that what they taught you with their actions, with their behavior. It's a powerful way to teach is to be conscious of your behavior, what your behavior is teaching your children. And I would say my parents as well. My parents are both very, very diligent and hard workers. And thank you for sharing that one, because that's a big thing. You know, and that goes back to what we were talking about with Kathy and pretty much everything else, is the examples that the parents can teach by leading with your action. The importance of saying please and thank you. The best way to do that is to always say please and thank you, and let your kids see you. Let your kids see you being courteous. Let your kids see you being compassionate. Let your kids see you being hard workers. Let your kids see you being responsible. Let your kids see you paying bills. Let your kids see you loving each other, hugs. And let your kids see you being interested in reading and writing and learning. Let your kids see that. And you'll see these things, you'll see that it'll have an impact on them. They might not respond to it right away because they're kids, they're developing minds, and they've got chemicals going through their minds that you couldn't even imagine the chemicals that are going through their minds. You know, you look at, we've got old kids are being kids. When you look at what's actually happening physiologically in the developments of their brain and the developments of their as their organs continue to develop and their bodies become this big bag of chemicals. I mean, the kids are big bags of chemicals and just different blasts of, you know, they're chemical junkies, these kids. We tend to be as adults as well, but we slow ours down a little bit. Our chemicals definitely slow down. But not teenagers and kids. They're just walking bags. If you can get a dose of the chemicals that are going through an average teenager, an average, let's say, 10-year-old, if you were to get that into your body right now, you would think that you just took the most incredible drug on earth. You'd feel amazing and confused and sexually vibrant, and at the same time you'd be excited, and I mean it would be incredible. You'd think you took the most incredible drug in the world. Well, those kids are going through that all day, every day, because they're developing humans. It's really incredible what's happening and how such a small portion of their brain is actually dedicated to putting that into perspective and rationality. That's why we see how kids, how what we call irrational, how irrational kids are and how silly they can be, because they have this tremendous portion of chemicals going through their body and a very small part of their brain dedicated to sort through it. There's a lot of it that does not get sorted through, and it gets taken out in other ways. So it's incredible to see that. So the kids might not respond right away to your behavior and showing them how important it is to work hard, showing them how important it is to be courteous, showing them how important it is to love, to share, to pray, to whatever it is that you want to teach. They may not respond to it right away, but it is in there. It is being embedded in that story, that subconscious story, and eventually it'll come up when needed. But that's a great point about how your dad showed you what it was to be a hard worker, and I bet you that's been instilled in you with your own family, and again, so many parents out there, moms and dads, that really are stepping up and may not be ones for lectures and speeches and giving oral advice, but at the same time, showing you their character, their ethic, with their actions. So I think that's powerful. Let's keep going. So many people are asking me things to share. I've shared a lot, but the one thing, there's a couple things that parents taught me that turned out to be true. I've said on the show before, my mom's, she wasn't trying to be wise at this point. When my brother and I would be arguing at the dinner table, and we were kids, young kids, and how come he got more of this, or how come they got more of that? And we'll be fighting, my dad probably ready to kill us, and my mom definitely ready to kill us. And she'd say, okay, be quiet, you know, keep your eyes on your own plate and enjoy your meal. And, you know, I don't think that she was trying to share her wisdom, impart her wisdom there. It wasn't like a Buddha moment where she goes, now, children, look at your plate and see that this is the plate you've been given. And you can... It wasn't like that at all. My mom was a 20-something year old who had spent her whole life in another country, then came here, and within a few years of being here, already had two kids. It wasn't that little moment. She was a 20-something year old with two lunatic kids. Me and my brother were climbing, yelling, beating each other out. We were animals completely. So my dad was working 100 hours a day, it seemed. So she was pretty much on her own in a foreign country with two lunatic kids. So no, it wasn't the little Buddha moment, believe me. It was her saying whatever she's got to say and do whatever she had to do to not kill her kids. And in this occasion, she would say, just be quiet and keep your eyes on your own plate and enjoy your meal. She said that 100 times. I mean, easily 100 times. But that's something that she taught us that definitely turned out to be true. And my own stubborn ass has figured that out throughout the years. So the same person who wrote in earlier, who said, you know, money isn't everything, and it took a while to figure that out. This is something that took me a while to figure out also. Keep your eyes on your own plate and enjoy your meal. I mean, how different would your life be if you weren't worried about what other people had or what other people thought about what you had, or trying to keep up with the Joneses and all that stuff? How much headache do you spare yourself when you're not in the comparison mode? You know, comparisons hurt your feelings 99% of the time. To keep your eyes on your own plate, to look at the hand that you've been dealt, to look at your life and to look at yourself and to look in the mirror and see who you are, and not be concerned about what somebody else has, and not be concerned with what they're doing, and not be concerned with that. That's a challenge. But when you do get there, when you do get to that wise point in your life, it is an incredible liberating idea to have. So even though she didn't mean it as true wisdom, she absolutely did impart fantastic wisdom there. And aside from that, I mean, of course, she was big on the please and thank yous as well. And my dad too. I remember I remember specifically, I'm going to share a quick childhood story that I remember specifically about my dad. So I remember I was young, I was super little, and I don't know where we were going. I think we were just going to the store or something, and we were in those station wagons. My parents had the station wagon, you know, those old school station wagons that, that you see in like the National Lampoon Vacation movies, you know, the old school with like the wood paneling on the side. You know what I'm talking about. So I remember this is probably 19, I mean, I was a kid. I was like four or five. So let's say late 70s, early 80s, okay, but more leaning towards late 70s. Because I was a super little kid. So I remember sitting there, and it was back then, it was like there was no car seat rules. I was sitting in the front seat. My dad was driving. I was sitting in the front seat, and my mom was next to me. I'm not sure where my brother was at this point, but maybe he was in the back seat. I don't know where he was. But I know in this particular story, in this particular memory, he could have been sitting right next to me, and I might have blocked him completely out of my memory. But how I remember this was my dad driving. I was sitting there next to him and my mom next to me in the front seat of these old school station wagons. And I don't know what they were talking about. And I just remember my dad saying, I'm not going to worry about it. You know, they were probably, who knows what they were talking about. They were, again, immigrants in a new country with two young kids, and I can only imagine the kind of craziness they went through, and financially and everything else. I could only imagine how stressful that would have been. But anyways, I remember my dad saying, Steven, you have to control life or life control you. I don't worry about it. You have to control life or life control you. I'll never forget that. Because even that, I was a kid. I was, and like I said, I was maybe 4 or 5 years old. I remember thinking, you got to control life or life controls you. And here I am, 37 years old, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And that is absolutely something a parent taught me that turned out to be true. You control it. You control life or life controls you. That is 100% true. Another story. And another one that wasn't my parent. One more. I'll share one more. One more that wasn't my parent. It's my grandparent, my grandfather. And he the whole idea of the title of Pretend God is Deaf, you know, there's a little bit of it that I wrote in Life, the Truth, and Being Free, but there's an entire book coming out with that participatory prayer. But the whole idea of Pretend God is Deaf, the concept of that title came from, of living that way, came from my grandpa, John. When I was learning to ride a bike in Port Washington, I was a young kid. And my grandpa, John, who was a World War II veteran, he wasn't my blood grandfather. He married my grandmother. But this was probably the late 70s again. I was a kid, so he's the only grandfather I've known, actually. So when I was learning to ride a bike through Port Washington, my mom, of course, gave the priceless advice, as I'm learning to navigate the streets of Port Washington on my bicycle, my mom gave the priceless advice of, don't get killed. Don't get killed. Thank you, Mom. But my grandpa John, again, he was older and of course had more patience for us. And he said, listen, Stephen, I want you to pretend when you're going through your bike, and I know folks listening to this now, it's almost unheard of to see kids just riding their bikes in neighborhoods. I know that it is almost unheard of here in Port Washington. But when I was young, there was kids everywhere, bicycles everywhere, people riding their bikes everywhere. It was just a different time. So imagine that time for a second. So my grandpa John says, hey, listen, so when you're on your bicycle, you're going to come to intersections and you're going to come to driveways. If you're riding your bike on the sidewalk, you're going to come to driveways. And you're going to think that the people in that driveway, if they're backing out their car or they're pulling out their car, or if you're at an intersection and you know that those people have a stop sign and you want to cross the street, I know that you're going to think they should see you and they should stop. But I don't want you to think that way. I want you to pretend you're invisible. Pretend that they are blind. Don't trust that they see you. Pretend that they don't see you. And ride your bike that way. Don't trust that they see you. Pretend that they don't see you. Pretend that they can't see you. Pretend that you're invisible. Pretend that you're blind. If you do that, you will be safe to navigate your journey on your bicycle. And years later, which for me is brilliant advice, for years later, as I was you know, in my 20s thinking about, you know, this God is deaf idea, like, wow, God's not listening to prayers. And, wow, it just looks like it's action. I thought, wow, what if I take that the idea of John's advice to me, navigating my journey on my bicycle through Port Washington, pretending others are blind, pretending I'm invisible. What if I take that same idea and relay this God is deaf concept, but with that idea, pretend God is deaf. Imagine God is deaf. Now how do you ride your bike? When you pretend other people are invisible, now how do you ride your bike? You're super cautious. You're aware. It's a completely different experience than just expecting them to see you. And the same went with prayer. So now how do you pray differently when you can't use your words? What do you do when you pretend God is deaf? What do you do when you pretend your fiance, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your son, your daughter, your parents? How does your life change if you pretend they are deaf? And now you can only show them and you can only participate. The whole idea of the way you conduct your journey of life changes when you pretend others are deaf, when you pretend God is deaf, when you pretend people are deaf and you can only show and participate. Your whole experience changes, just like your whole experience of riding your bicycle changes when you become conscious and aware and pretending that others can't see you. It was actually a very brilliant thing that my grandpa said, and yeah, that absolutely turned out to be true. So many people sharing. So listen, I keep those up. We might have to have a part two of this show because this show is over. but so many people sharing. Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks again, Kathy, for coming up with the idea to have this show. Great idea. I love my listeners. I love that we're all on the same team. We're all in this together. We sit down and we have this show. Fantastic. Thank you to everyone who shares this. Thank you for everyone who's out there being a parent right now and teaching these wonderful, empowering things to your children, the grandparents out there who are teaching these wonderful, empowering things to your grandchildren, the people in new relationships who are setting the standards for themselves and setting the standards for relationships, who are showing others what relationships are like, the love, the compassion, the forgiveness, who are out there participating in this wonderful journey of life and doing so in an empowered way, not a disempowered way, but an empowered way, and sharing along the way. Thank you, all of you. I love doing this show. Thank you so much for sitting with me. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. You know you can check out our stuff at abettertoday.com. SteveMaraboli.com and EmpoweredLivingRadio.com. Of course, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're all over the place. Get out there and participate today. And never forget, this New Yorker loves you. You're listening to Empowered Living. We'll see you next time.
A Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.